Okay, we're going to look at a number of different verses tonight. I guess you would not call this an expository message tonight. It will be building on things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. But let's look at some verses, and we're going to talk about what I think is a very simplistic truth, but very important. James chapter 5. Verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12. Verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Speaking of the resurrection at the time of the end of the tribulation. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. We see, obviously, a important theme in the Bible, that something that we have been thinking about, talking about. Those that turn many to righteousness. It talks about a perspective of the purpose of one of the purposes of life. And that is, obviously, we are to be an influence for God. We are to be an influence in this earth for God. I was thinking a very simple truth this week that I'm just going to present simply to you tonight. The Bible says, our verse, memory verse for the week is righteousness exalts a nation. And I was also thinking of Psalm, I think it's 33:12. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. I'm not sure who I was talking to, but I was talking to somebody, and he listens to Glenn Beck. Oh, I know who I was talking to. And he's talking about, listen to Glenn Beck. And after a while, he says, I got to turn it off, because he says, I just get so frustrated. And I learn about our country, I learn about what's happening, I learn about our history, I learn about the principles on which our country was founded, and etc. And it's very frustrating. Well, you know, I don't think we're really going to change. I hope we can change our country at the ballot box. But I really don't think we will. You know, book of Proverbs tells us that there's, you know, really in life there's four different groups of people. There's the wise man, there's the foolish man, there's the scorner, and there's the simple man. And the vast majority of people are simple. They don't think. They don't get facts. The history of our nation, the bad turns in our country, have been supplied by the simple ones. Do you know the people who probably put President Obama in office? You know who probably put him in office? Born-again Christians. They're the ones who put him in office. People who are simple, people who listen to get their news from the main networks and don't do any thinking. I talked to a person who claims to be a Christian, voted for Obama, and I said, don't you know he's an abortionist? I never knew that. I never knew that. And I guarantee you, where this lady came from, there's thousands and thousands of people just like that. I really would like to think that we're going to change our country at the ballot box, but I doubt it. But you know, I think there's a better process for changing our country, and it's the same process that God declares was the habit of the New Testament believers. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Now, Acts chapter 8 is a bit of history, and it must be understood in light of the Bible. You know, what do you mean? Well, in light of the Bible is Mark 15:16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In light of Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things. In light of Luke chapter 24, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached unto all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In light of John 20:21, where Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. In light of Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Now, Acts 8:4 is just the historical living record of the New Testament believers lived the command. And what does it say? Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, let's go back. Is this talking about pastors? Is this talking about the apostles? No, it's not talking about the apostles, because what does it say in verse 1? That they were at Jerusalem, they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Apostles didn't get scattered. They were still at Jerusalem. Who got scattered? Lay people. And what were the lay people doing? The lay people were, everywhere they went, they were spreading the word of God. Okay? And we see the illustration of really what the New Testament is teaching is normal Christianity, that every person, every Christian, every believer is consumed with getting out the message of Jesus Christ. Every believer. A.T. Pearson, in his book on missions, he said, the only time in history that the world was, the Great Commission was fulfilled was during the generation of the apostles. And ever since then, the command has never been obeyed. And you know what he said? He said the reason is because in the New Testament era, everyone preached the gospel. Everyone was consumed with reaching people for Christ. A.D. Pearson said the problem is today is we hire professionals to do our job. And he says the world will never be reached by the few thousands of missionaries that we hire. The world will never be reached by those few thousand missionaries that we hire. And for the average person, it is an escape from the Great Commission. And therefore, the plan of God for every generation to be reached with the gospel will not be fulfilled, because we have the general idea is we've hired some professional missionaries to go to the ends of the world. Now, I was thinking about this in a practical manner. Okay? How many know how to multiply? Anybody know how to multiply? Okay. And forgive me for being simplistic, okay? But I'm going to be simplistic tonight. How could our country be reached? Well, let's just say, I think this is a lowball figure, but maybe it isn't a lowball figure. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's being generous. Okay, but let's just say that there is in America 1 million conservative Christians, born again Christians. 1 million conservative born again Christians. Okay, and who's doing the math here tonight? Okay, somebody do the math. Who's doing the math? Okay. Okay, so what if every one of those conservative born-again Christians led one person a year? And everybody that they led to the Lord led somebody to the Lord one person a year. Okay? Just one person a year. Just one person a year. Okay? So, at the one end of 1 year, 1 million people will have led and discipled another million. Okay, that's year one. Okay, someone keeping track for me? Okay, so now at the end of 1 year, you got 2 million. Okay, so now all those 2 million lead one person to the Lord in 1 year. Just one person. Okay, so now how many do you have? Four. Okay, now, every one of those 4 million, all they do is lead one person in the whole year, 365 days, only one person, just one. Okay, now how many do you have? 8 million. Okay, now all those people, they spend their whole year and they only lead one person to the Lord. Okay, how many do you have? 16. Okay, now you have those 16 million and you take... And they 1 year, one person, just one. Okay, lead one person to the Lord, and now you have how many? 32. Okay, so all 32 in 1 year's time, 365 days, they only lead one person to the Lord, only one, just one. Okay, now so now you have what? Okay, now all of those, all they do is in the next year, they lead one person and disciple them to the Lord so they know the truth. Now, how many do you have? 120. What year are we at? 7. 7? In the 7th year, if everyone just led one person to the Lord, one, that's all, one, just one. How many do you have now? What were we at before? 120, now you're at 256. Hey, do you think you could elect a Christian then? You think you elected a Christian? Someone that believe the Bible? That's only 8 years, isn't it? That's only 8 years. Only 8 years. You know what? The devil would want us to be fatalists and say, you know, we can't do anything. We can't change our country. You know what? We need to just think about obeying God. We just need to think about doing what we're supposed to be doing. We need to have in our mind, hey, you know what? God has a purpose. One of the purposes of our life is to lead other people to Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. Yes, you know what? And there are those that are erring, and the Bible says we need to be about turning them back to righteousness too. You turn someone back to righteousness, and they can be a part of the original 1 million, can't they? But you know, we need to think realistically. You say, that's not realistic. I think it's very realistic. You know what? I know enough about the Christian life, though, that we will never lead somebody to the Lord if we don't accept the responsibility to be a soul winner. If we don't take these commands literally. If we don't say, you know what? My life is absolutely, my life is in disobedience to God if I am not about trying to lead people to the Lord. I realize that if you think of the formula we talked about, it's not talking about manipulation. It's not talking about numbers. It's not talking about easy believism. It's not talking about any of that foolishness. It's talking about real, genuine converts. Real ones. And you know, in order to do that, we have to be right with God. We have to be right with God. We have sin in our life. Not only do we don't care about leading people to the Lord, but if we cared, we know we don't have power, and God will never give us a real opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. You can't knock on somebody's door and make them want to talk about the Lord. Only God can do that. Only God can do those things. And I think young people who are accustomed to being a part of a youth group and going out soul winning, I can tell you, if they were honest, they would say, you know, there's days that I don't want to go out. And they'll tell you, if they were honest, they would say, you know, the reason I don't want to go out is because, you know what? You have to be right with God to go out. And I want to go out because I know it's a spiritual reality. But just think of the simple truth. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying our church needs to get back to New Testament Christianity. We ought to have in our heart, and it starts right here at the top here, we ought to have in our heart that every week, that we're trying to bring someone to church. Every week that we're praying about, and we're thinking about, and we're planning, and we're working on being in the plan, in the pathway of leading people to the Lord. You know, I found out, no one ever leads anybody to the Lord until they first get hungry. No one ever sees anybody get saved until first they get really hungry. No one ever leads anybody to the Lord until they really say, you know what, this is why God saved me. One of the reasons God saved me is to win people to Christ. And just think of what difference it would make in our country if every Christian led somebody to the Lord and discipled them. Just one person a year. And I think it tells us, the fact is, we have 10 million people in America now. Maybe a few more with some illegals. But you know, about 300 million. The fact is, really, the problem with our country is Christianity. That's the problem. It's not the liberals. Our morals of our country are going down because the morals of churches are going down. That's why our country's going down. And we're going to blame the liberals and blame all those people, but the real problem is we haven't been doing our job. And you know what? It's a spiritual battle. I realize that. It's a spiritual battle. It doesn't come easy. And you know it's a spiritual battle. You know, you talk to someone. It's amazing. Wednesday night, the young people come back after visitation. They say, you know, I had a great visit. I had a great visit. People are really interested. And you know what? What comes of it? You know what? There's a spiritual warfare going on out there. There's a spiritual warfare going on. Our prayers are much more realistic if we are about the real thing. Our prayers are much more realistic if we recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. Our living is much more realistic if we're really about the real thing. And that is being right with God, obeying God, seeking to win people to Christ, seeking to minister to people, drawing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all, every one of us, ought to have a goal that every week we're trying to, we're praying for that opportunity to talk to a soul about Christ. And that every week we ought to be thinking about, who am I inviting to church tomorrow on Saturday? Who am I bringing to church? Who am I bringing to church? Who am I inviting? Where is the spiritual battle? What are the spiritual realities? This is a little bit premature, but and it will come about, I believe. I think the Lord is leading. Years ago, we used to have what's called the Gideon's Prayer Band. And you know, Gideon's Prayer Band reduced 30,000 down to 300. Isn't that right? And so it's kind of in a select group. But I tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we need to revive the Gideon's Prayer Band. And it's going to be open to anybody, but it's going to be very special. It can only be open to people who are committed to what we've been talking about. Trying to witness to someone every week. Working at getting in, personally inviting someone to church every week. Someone who will take 5 minutes every noon hour or thereabouts to pray for a specific prayer list that you'll be given, and will take one of those noon hours where you will fast and pray for God's work in this place. We're going to call it the Gideon's Prayer Band, because I really believe that we need to get back on the real pathway about seeing people get saved. You know, I was in Najkanesia. First Sunday I preached, a lady got saved. The next Sunday, her husband came. And he got saved. And I remember Tim Hughes saying to me, he says, how many churches in America have two people saved on back-to-back Sundays? Adults. How many churches? I mean, real churches, they're really preaching the real gospel. Very, very few. I says, we agreed, yeah, this is very, very rare. I can't think of the last time we had two adults saved on back-to-back Sundays. I'm not talking about easy believism, pray a prayer. I'm talking about people under conviction, the Spirit of God working in their life. You can almost see God bringing them to salvation. It's so obvious the Spirit of God is doing it. And when you think about how sad that is, that there are so very few churches where that's taking place. And then we can just come down to reality. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the Word of God. It was their focus to get out the gospel. It was their focus. It was right in the top of their soul that to get out the gospel and see people get saved. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that, Lord, we need to be challenged to be real Christians, New Testament Christians. To really be, Lord, walking with God, being right with God, being clean from sin, having our hearts in love with Christ and in love with souls. And Lord, we pray that you would do a work in our lives. That, Lord, that we would really become hungry to see people genuinely come to Christ. That, Lord, we would be in the middle of understanding the battle, the spiritual battle that's taking place, the warfare that's taking place in lives. We know whenever the gospel is presented, the devil is there to snatch away the word if he could. And Lord, even as we pray tonight, oh God, help us to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, VBS is 1 week a year. And Lord, this is the opportunity. Lord, we can't faint. We need to pray, and we need to pray even at home in a great way, but energize our prayers tonight. May we pray as we ought for the multitude of requests and pray for your blessing and pray that we, Lord, would be back on the focus, that every Sunday we would be thinking about souls and bringing souls to the Lord's house and influencing people for God. Pray that you would be glorified in Jesus' name.